Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, one of the best guys, if not the best guy, in all of organized New York politics. Welcome back, Tom.
Alan, it's great to be with you. I'm not sure how organized New York politics is, but thank you for that introduction.
Indeed, that's true. So let me start in the right place for the comptroller, which is, what's your financial assessment of Governor Kathy Hochul's $127 billion, with a B, dollar budget proposal?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the state is in good shape right now. We certainly have continued to see tax collections coming in higher than projected, and that's good news. The all fund spending, the operating funds is about $125 billion. All funds is $227 billion, so it's a record number. But we have to be mindful that the out-year budget gaps are projected to grow. And so, I mean, my overall takeaway, she's made some important decisions on investing more, particularly in education and healthcare. She's building up the rainy day reserves, the money we put aside for when times will not be so good. I think that's an excellent move on her part. But as we know, the legislature now gets the proposal. There'll be a lot of give and take. And I would just urge caution, because we really don't know where this economy is headed and ultimately what the impact on state revenues will be. And it's that uncertainty that makes budgeting a little more difficult this year than some other years.
So how's she getting along with everybody else, all the guys, everybody else in our organized political area?
Well, you know, Kathy Hochul benefits from being a genuinely nice person and having built relationships for many years prior to her becoming governor. And I think that sense of goodwill about her has continued. I think it's pretty clear, though, that on some of the policy and the politics, there are some disagreements with, you certainly saw it with the Democrats in the Senate with regard to her pick for chief judge for the Court of Appeals. Obviously, her wading in on the issue of bail reform and some of the criminal justice issues, that's going to be very much debated. So, look, I think that in terms of her personal credibility to engage in dialogue, I think that continues to be there. But there are clearly going to be some policy and budget battles that loom ahead. Let's hope that everybody sticks to the substance and the debate doesn't get out of control. We need to have the budget done on time by April 1st. We need to show that the state is still doing its business. So we'll see. I mean, the process is really just starting off.
So, Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, how are you personally getting along with your governor?
I think we're getting along fine. I was very pleased that she closed out the year 2022 by signing our legislation that restored our oversight ability on contracts. I think that was a major positive step.
What was that all about? Let me interrupt you and ask you what that was all about. There may be people who are listening who don't quite understand it.
Well, certainly, as we've talked about on your show in the past, under the prior administration, the prior governor, there had been a series of actions taken at the governor's recommendation with the approval of the legislature to limit what's called our contract review or pre-audit authority, particularly with regard to certain SUNY and CUNY contracts and these big centralized contracts that are given out by the Office of General Services. So it really took away that role of accountability that the Comptroller's Office provides to look out for the best value for taxpayers, all under the mistaken notion that that would make the government process more efficient. In fact, what it did is eliminated important checks and balance, and we certainly have seen some excesses in that regard over the years. So there has been a concerted effort, thankfully championed by members of the legislature, to restore that contract review authority back to what it had been for like 100 years before. So the bill to do that overwhelmingly passed the legislature, but the governor did not deal with it till the very last week of 2022. So we weren't sure where it was headed. We were glad that she restored that authority.
Well, sounds reasonable, but why did she hold her horses? How come it didn't move forward?
Yeah. Not sure. That I can't speak to, but in the end, she did the right thing.
That's good. Now, a press release from your office says that you, DiNapoli, calls for a long-needed debt reform, recommends comprehensive and binding limits, and more accountability to voters. So, could you put that into English for us?
Well, this is always a tough topic. It's important because New York State, you know, Moody's identified New York as having the highest debt burden in the nation after California, and it limits our options for the future. When you have a growing debt burden, it means you're paying more in debt service, limits money that you can spend on current projects. And we've never really gotten our arms around effective debt management at the state. Now, we have in statute something called the Debt Reform Act of, I think it was the year 2000, that's been on the books, obviously, for a long period of time, which sets a cap, a limit. It's tied to the percent of personal income tax in the state. But the problem, Alan, has been that we've gotten around that debt cap. How the legislature has routinely, again, you know, working with whoever the governor was at the time, to notwithstand the provisions of the debt reform cap. So we borrowed way beyond what the cap was intended to limit, making the cap meaningless.
How did we get away with that?
Simple. It's an act of the legislature in the context of the budget every year. It happens. Look, debt, when you talk about debt, and I appreciate you're asking about it, but I have to say, of all the issues we've talked about over the years in the Comptroller's Office, the one that seems to get the least attention seems to be the snooze button, unfortunately, is when you start talking about debt, because it's just a big amorphous topic and it deals with the future more than the present. And you know what the tendency is in government. If we have a need to spend for a program, we'll spend the money if we have it. If we don't have it, it's easier to borrow to pay for it rather than cut some other program or raise taxes. And that's really, you know, what the modus operandi has been for a long time. So what we're trying to do is say, hey, look, folks, our debt burden is growing. We have a cap in place that's meaningless. The rating agencies have said consistently this is one of the weaknesses for New York State. Our borrowing, and government will always have to borrow. We're not saying that debt is not an important part of doing business, but our ability to borrow would come in more cost effectively if we had a more clear management of our debt. So our proposal would set the main point of it is rather than doing it by statute, by law, we would do it by constitutional amendment. So you couldn't just then get around it the way we have. And we would provide, instead of the 4% figure we have now, 5%, we think that's more realistic. But it really, there's a lot of information on it on our website. It's meant to be comprehensive. It's meant to be binding. It's meant to eliminate the backdoor borrowing through the public authorities, which has no accountability. The Constitution of the state intended for voters to vote on debt, to vote on bond issue. We just had a bond issue on the environment. I'm glad it passed. It was great. But that was the way to do debt, have the voters decide. We do all this backdoor borrowing with authorities without clear accountability. So we would really restore the power to voters. That's among our key proposals. So I'm hoping our proposal will ignite a discussion on a topic that too often is overlooked. Obviously, it's a long way to go before a constitutional amendment would be adopted. It needs, you know, to pass two legislatures and then be voted on by the voters. So long way to go, Alan, but I'm hoping that people will take a serious look at it and we will finally deal with the issue of getting our arms around debt.
Well, now, Governor Kathy Hochul has a $127 billion budget proposal. Is that outrageous or is it correct?
We're looking at a healthy surplus, you know, at the moment. So in the context of where we're at today, it's a big number, but it provides important services, especially on education and health care. The issue is recurring spending. The issue will be as the federal stimulus money, relief money is spent down, and it is being spent down, will the economy pick up to the and the tax revenue pick up to the point that it will backfill that federal money not being there? That's a big question, Alan. So I would say, yeah, we have the money right now, but I think what we have to look at carefully is commitments to recurring spending, because it's very clear the out-year budget gaps are surfacing again, largely because the federal money is not going to be there. Are we headed to a recession? I mean, that's up for debate. We have a lot of conflicting data points as far as the overall national and state economy. Inflation is still an issue. Interest rates are still going up. But people are spending money. We just put out our sales tax report this week. Sales tax revenues continue to grow. Hiring is still happening. You know, so some of the traditional dynamics for that would suggest a recession that could mean less revenue coming to the state, it's not clear where we're headed. But I do think the governor's assumption in her budget is that we would likely be headed for a short and shallow recession. That's probably wise to be conservative to project that. So I do hope the legislature, if they want to change some of the spending priorities, keeps in mind that we do have out-year budget gaps and we have to align recurring spending with recurring revenue.
We're talking to Thomas DiNapoli, the controller of New York State. How is it to be controller these days? Is it hard to make everybody do what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, the challenge with being controller is that we can make a lot of recommendations, but no one's required to listen to them. So it can be a little frustrating at times. But, you know, I do think people are very conscious of where the money's at, right? And the old saying from the movies, follow the money. Mm-hmm. Our job is to follow the money. I think, you know, the atmosphere in Albany vis-a-vis our role has gotten better. And again, I go back to what we talked about earlier with our contract oversight authority being restored. It shows a respect for what the traditional role of this office is about. One of our challenges right now is managing the pension fund, which is one of the strongest pension funds in the country. But, you know, you've seen the market volatility. We had two quarters of negative returns. We're going to announce shortly a positive return for the quarter that ended on December 31st. So things have turned around a bit, but we value the fund on March 31st. So remains to be seen how this last quarter will be. But people get very nervous. I hear from the retirees whenever they see the stock market down, they're worried about their pensions. I have to assure them, first of all, that we have plenty of money right now for the retirees and even for the people working. It's for the person starting work in state or local government today, going to be retiring 25, 30 years from now that we're concerned about. And we are not only invested in the stock market. That's about half of our portfolio. So because we have a diversified portfolio, I'm very confident that we will have the money there. And of course, in New York, we guarantee the pensions with our state constitution. But I have to say, if you know, people ask me sometimes what keeps me up at night, well, when the stock market and the private markets are acting a little downward, that concerns me, because we're going to keep the plan well funded no matter what. But, you know, we don't like to have to resort to raising the employer contribution rate, because that affects, you know, our local government budgets, their ability to provide services. So that, I'd say, of all the challenges out there, Alan, that's probably the biggest one right now, monitoring what's happening with the markets and keeping the pension plan well-funded.
Now, Tom DiNapoli, a new report from your controller's office raises concerns with proposed thruway toll hikes. The New York Construction Materials Association trade group says toll increases are necessary to improve the nearly 70-year-old thruway system. Is that right?
Well, Well, look, toll increases, you know, may be appropriate. They need to be considered. What we really said in our report, and we were asked by Assemblymember Angelo Santa Barbara and others to take a look at this. So we did an assessment. We took a view and we said, you know what, tolls, and I think everybody would agree with this, toll increases need to be the last option. Everybody knows the price of everything is going up, so it's another burden on the users of Thruway, be it everyday New Yorkers or commercial vehicles as well. And we just made certain recommendations on what we think the Thruway Authority should do to assess their current operations, to make sure as they've made the move to not having the toll booths anymore and paying your tolls by mail and with all the technology, that's working as well as intended. And, you know, we really just said, make sure you take a careful look at all of your expenditures before you do the toll increase. It doesn't mean that that a toll increase may not be appropriate. And I think, you know, the industry folks that have come out in favor of it, you know, they feel perhaps that we don't need to look at the overall operations of the Thruway Authority before we make that decision. I mean, that's their call. We didn't say no, no way. You know, I think some folks may have misinterpreted what we said, but we said it should be the last option, and we made some specific recommendations of what we think the Thruway Authority Board should look at before they do, before they make that final decision on whether or not to raise the tolls and by how much.
So decipher some stuff for us. Budget hearings are taking place this week on different aspects of the governor's proposal, including transportation, the MTA, and a controversial payroll tax proposal. So what's really going on?
Well, certainly in terms of, you know, you mentioned the MTA, which is important downstate particularly, but really for our entire state, right? The New York City metro area is key to the state's economy. The MTA was really on life support for the past couple of years. We have to give credit to the federal government, especially Chuck Schumer and our congressional delegation, for ensuring that as part of the relief, the pandemic relief, that billions were sent to the MTA to keep them afloat. But the MTA largely depends on riders of the subways and the trains to, you know, for its revenue source. And that ridership is not back to where it was pre-pandemic. So they've got big money problems. That they're proposing an increase in the payroll mobility tax. That's an existing tax because they do need a new revenue source. I mean, that's been pretty clear. Unless ridership comes back to 100% or more than 100%, they're going to need revenue from somewhere. You know, as always, we make recommendations on how they could streamline operations. But ultimately, because the gap is so significant, it should not be a surprise to anyone that they did propose a new revenue source. The governor's ensuring that the state will provide some more money and has asked New York City to contribute more as well. Not sure that given the city's own challenges, you know, with their budget, they have a big issue now with asylum seekers and migrants and unexpected expenses that are coming in there and looking for relief from the federal government. Whether or not they're going to be able to kick in what the governor has asked for the MTA is unclear. So, look, our transportation system is key to our economy, and we're certainly still trying to recover. You know, we still have not recovered all the jobs that we lost during the pandemic. So keeping, whether it's the Thruway Authority and maintaining that in good purpose and good repair, or the MTA, these transportation issues are big. The infrastructure money coming out of Washington, a lot of that is going to go to transportation. Hopefully that'll provide some relief, but not surprisingly, Alan, this is going to be a big source of debate in those budget hearings.
So, Tom DiNapoli, am I correct that you got your so-called pre-audit powers back that you lost during the Cuomo administration?
Correct. You are absolutely correct. There was a slight tweak. Some of the thresholds were raised a little bit, but in substance, the short answer is yes, we did get back that pre-audit authority.
What did you have to do to get it back? I mean, it sounded so reasonable when you explained it to all of us.
Well, you're a reasonable guy, and so are your listeners. It was, of course, it was reasonable. No, I think what really happened is I think folks, particularly with some of the bad stories that came out about money not being spent the right way and finding out after the fact, understood that accountability is preferable at the front end of a decision. Right? One of the arguments arguments against this, right, Alan, was that, well, the controller could always audit something and find out if something wasn't right. Well, what good is auditing something after the contract has been approved and the money's out the door? So this enables us to look at the front end. And I think what really happened is that the legislature understood this, and, you know, the executive, the governor, whoever it is, always likes to retain more prerogatives and less checks and balance. The controller's job is set up to be a check and a balance. But I think ultimately what we do protects the executive, protects the governor, because if we find something and we can stop something bad from happening, that avoids a negative headline. Or if we sign off on something and let's say it wasn't as good as it should have been, the governor could say, hey, the controller signed off on it. What's the big deal? So to me, this is actually protective of the executive's prerogatives, and we're glad that this governor saw it a little differently than the previous governor.
Tom DiNapoli, let's talk a little bit about online gambling revenue. Is New York winning?
In the short run, seems to be. New York is the marketplace that generates the most revenue thus far on the sports betting. Probably even more successful than its promoters had anticipated. So, you know, when we've talked on your show before, I've always been somewhat of a skeptic on expanding gaming opportunities to provide revenue, because the revenue tends to fall short of what's projected. In this case, it seems to be coming in higher than projected. So let's hope the money will be put to good use. Whether that will hold up down the road, we shall see.
Tom DiNapoli, your office sent out a press release on Monday of this week summarizing yearly sales tax from last year. The numbers were strong, and New York City was notably strong. What's going on?
Well, I guess we could count this as one of those data points on the positive side. Sales tax revenue, very important revenue to the state after personal income tax, and certainly for our local governments, especially our counties, but our cities and our towns and villages as well, because they share in sales tax revenue. What we found year over year, an increase of over 12%, about 12.7%. People are still spending money, right? People are anxious about the economy and inflation, but people are still spending money. Now, some of that increase could be tied to inflationary prices, but keep in mind, last year we also had the gasoline tax holiday, which would work opposite of an inflationary impact. New York City, as you mentioned, you've seen significant recovery. It was about 20% we saw. And I think that shows that in the city, more folks are coming back, at least domestic travel. So more people spending money, you know, going to shows, going to restaurants and so on, where sales taxes would kick in with the spending that's happening. So in the short run, I think it's a positive for state, for local governments as well. I think it just shows that while other parts of the economy may be creating concern, people are still spending money.
Now, there is a call for a tuition increase at State University of New York, SUNY. What do you make of that?
Well, the budget would authorize an increase there. The budget also calls for more of an investment in SUNY and CUNY. We know that higher education costs are growing. We also know that public higher education is still the best deal out there, particularly in New York. So, we'll see whether the authorization goes through as is, whether in fact it will be followed with an actual tuition increase. But we have an important stake in making sure that SUNY and CUNY provides the great education that it does for our students that attend public higher education in New York.
Well, as a Hunter College graduate, I can tell you that it did a great deal for me. So what is it that makes politicians take a look at this kind of thing and say students should pay more?
Well, look, it doesn't come without a price tag, obviously. And you look at, you know, which is a whole nother topic, the cost of private higher ed, where those numbers have gone up dramatically. So even if there is a modest increase on the public side, it's still a really good deal. I mean, it's not tuition free like it was in the old days at CUNY.
My days.
And a lot of people have suggested we get back to that point, you know, but it's like anything else. When you're putting budgets together, you have competing priorities. And I think this is just an attempt to provide some flexibility for SUNY and CUNY to meet their obligations. You know, I know particularly for our community colleges I think it's starting to turn around in some places, but they, you know, again, pandemic impact, they had a big decrease in student enrollment, you know, but the fixed costs don't necessarily go down just because enrollment goes down. So a lot of funding questions that are facing SUNY. We have a new SUNY chancellor now. John King is back in New York. We'll look to him for guidance on how best to fund the system and keep it affordable and accessible for all of our New York students.
I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear you putting it on to him.
Well, he's up for the challenge. We had a good meeting the other day, and he's really delighted to be back in New York, and he has a full commitment to public higher education, and that's certainly appreciated.
Well, how important is it that we keep tuition at the state and city universities low? I mean, I'm a product of that. I know that my parents certainly couldn't have afforded a major private educational institution.
Yeah.
So
it's about access, and you know, many of the students are first time in their families having the ability to go to college and get a degree. We know education is still the best investment for employment down the road. We also know with our TAP program and Liberty Scholarships, many of our students are basically going on scholarship or significantly reduced tuition. So keep that in mind as well. But look, if we want to be a world-class economy, we need to be investing in public higher ed. You look at all the jobs in technology that we're wanting New York to be the new Silicon Valley, and there are great opportunities there. You look at the climate issues that we're trying to deal with, the new job opportunities with wind and solar and renewables, and soon is playing a role. I know on Long Island, SUNY Stony Brook, they have a course now for jobs in the wind business that's taking hold off of the shores of Long Island. So SUNY is really SUNY and CUNY and community colleges. That's the gateway to success. So we need to keep it quality professors, quality facilities, but certainly accessible from a cost point of view for students.
Tom DiNapoli, always a wonderful conversation with you. It's always so flattering that you're willing to come on to public radio and talk to all of us about the finances of the state. So you keep doing your job, and we'll try to keep up with you, okay?
Alan, it is always my privilege and pleasure to be on your show, and thank you for keeping all of New York informed about what's going on.
You're too kind.